You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the KoopaCast for January 22nd, 2014. This is our third one in 2014, I think. So I've got Jay Money, the other Justin, on the staff. So this is the Justin Super Special. We were going to have a few other guys on here, but Tristan is under the weather, and I think Matt may be joining us here shortly. And James is at a appointment because him and his wife are expecting, so that's good news. So I will be hosting the KoopaCast this evening, and hopefully I don't get too wordy. So, but first off, I think we're going to talk about some of the recent Nintendo news as far as Nintendo releasing their financial statements and some of the quotes that came out after the investor briefing, and I guess there's still like an investor meeting, I think, on the 29th of the month in Japan, and I think that meeting is more for plan of action, you know, things like that, kind of announcing what they're going to be doing over the next couple quarters. Jay Money, what did you think about the news? Were you shocked or?
Well, I'm not really much of a numbers guy. So I really don't pay attention to the numbers. They honestly, I don't know that I was shocked. I didn't expect them to like explode or anything. It's not going to be an overnight thing.
Yeah.
To me, it's always been more about, you know, am I having fun? Do I have friends I can play with? You know, that sort of thing. Like I said, I've never ever been really of a numbers guy. Never really ever paid attention to numbers. I don't care about the numbers. So.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I mean, I wasn't really shocked because, I mean, it sort of makes sense. I honestly didn't remember what numbers Nintendo had projected. You know, I didn't remember, like, oh, they plan to sell 9 million Wii U's by March or something, end of March. I didn't even know, remember that number. So I don't really keep track of it. And, you know, a lot of people follow, like, the NPD results, you know, which are the sales stats for, at least in North America, every month. And it's always, like, a big thing. People are like, oh, did you see how such and such game sold or this system sold, but I tend not to keep too much, at least distract too much from it. Hey, Matt, welcome.
Welcome to the Justin Super Special.
Yeah.
Why is everybody on mute? Because. There we go. How's everyone doing?
Good. We're live. We're talking about the Nintendo financial results.
I see.
So just, you know, kind of our impressions of it, what we thought, were we surprised, that sort of thing. I was just saying that I don't really tend to follow numbers too much, so I don't think I was too surprised about it. But anyways, it is always interesting when you see some of the news come out and you see some of the quotes, like from Iwata. Did you see some of those where he said, Nintendo may have to revamp their structure or something like that, revamp their business structure.
I
like it because, you know, we as media tend to like pull out these little snippets, you know, and there's been times in the past where people have misquoted Iwata or, you know, there's always something lost in translation or something taken out of context, but it was interesting to see just the backlash of remarks from that. People are like, what? Nintendo's going mobile. They're going third party. Whoa. You know, it's like, well, I don't think that's the case, but, you know, I think, you know, he speaks in generalities, and I think he, you know, he realizes that they need to, you know, change some things here and there. But hey, Thomas, welcome.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
No problem. We're live right now. We're talking about Nintendo's financial results, and were we surprised? What, you know, was there anything that really surprised us? Did we think they were going to sell more in December? That sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
What did you think, Matt, from the news?
I was actually surprised that Iwata came out and said that there was going to be this, you know, restructure, or he was thinking about this restructuring. Mm-hmm. I know he usually has a history of being kind of vague about these things, so for him to come out with such a strong statement, you know, I mean, I can kind of see why the rumor mill exploded like it did with, you know, people speculating here and there, and the what we recently had with the Nintendo Fusion rumors, you know.
yeah. And we've actually got some questions coming in here. I guess we can talk about as we go. But yeah, someone asked, do you think Nintendo's hardships are a result of Iwata's age? Like, I mean, him getting out of touch with the younger audience. So what do you guys think? I think Iwata is in his mid-50s, I think.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's not as old as Miyamoto, which is 61, I think, now. But yeah, I think he's around that age, a little bit younger. I don't know if I would say he's out of touch. I would just say that maybe Nintendo in general has a way of maybe not paying attention too much of what's going on around them. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. You know, I say it's good in the sense that with the Wii, they didn't care what everybody else was doing, and they, you know, had a hit on their hands. So, you know, that a lot of people say that was a, you know, bolt of lightning and it won't happen again, as we have seen a little bit with the Wii U so far. But I don't know. They tend to not really pay attention to things. What do you guys think?
They've always kind of always done their own thing. But the thing with Nintendo is it's kind of always been run by older gentlemen. But they have a lot of younger people under them that kind of do a lot of the... I'm not going to say that they're responsible for a lot of the creativity out of Nintendo, but they help kind of drive Nintendo and kind of what they're doing as well. It's not just Iwata, not just Miyamoto. It's a whole group, a whole team of people, and a lot of those people are younger folks.
Yeah,
I think when you compare it to Yamauchi, who he must have been in his 70s, I think, when he called it a day for Nintendo, wasn't he? So he's obviously a lot younger than him, and Nintendo saw some of their best successes under him as a president. And I think also Sony's president is around the same age as Iwata, I think, isn't he? So
yeah, I think so. Yoshida.
I think generally all these sort of companies are run by older people at the head. I don't think it can be really put down to Iwata's age as such.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, I think from the outside looking in at Nintendo, we kind of see Iwata as kind of the, maybe we see him as like the creative head. We're like, oh, well, it's his decision to go with the DS or his decision to go with the Wii. But I think there was probably a ton of engineers, a ton of other, you know, a whole big team that kind of, you know, it's just like any other company. You kind of propose a new product and you have to give the upper brass, you know, get their approval on it. So I imagine it was something like that where they're, you know, going through that approval process and they're like, hey, this looks like a good direction for us and I want to just have the final say. So yeah, I don't know if we've totally answered your question. But I don't necessarily think it's because of his age. I think there's a lot of other factors. I mean, it's not just him running the company, but yeah, I don't know. Did you guys see, this kind of pertains to this question, but did you guys see that one guy that was kind of defending Iwata?
Yeah.
On Twitter? I forget where he was from, what development studio. Do you guys remember?
I think he'd made a few first-person shooters, hadn't he? Something along.
Yeah, it was kind of different. Like, it was a developer you wouldn't even think that would come to Nintendo's, you know, defense. But I recall him when he was talking about it. He's like, you almost need someone like Iwata running the company or running any company, just because they're just crazy enough to have these unique off-the-wall ideas that work some of the time, and you almost need that rather than just someone who's going the safe route every single time. And I think you also have to put this in perspective. If you guys look at Sony and Nintendo, did you see those recent financial results where Sony lost a lot of their value in Japan? That Nintendo is actually makes more money or is a bigger market worth than Sony now, even though Sony has however many divisions. You know, they make TVs, they make all these consumer electronics, but even Nintendo is still a bigger company as a whole, just in their cash reserves and their operating income and all of that. So I thought that was very interesting. You know, I think a lot of people would say, oh, Sony's the bigger company. They have all these divisions, but probably 60% of their divisions are losing money. So, anyways, that's some perspective to put it in.
Going back to what you said, Justin, it was David Jaffe, who has done God of War and the Twisted Metal franchise.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's who he defended. It was a, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting that he came forward on that, since his name hasn't really been connected to, you know, any rumors about even any games being in development for the Nintendo system, so for a long time. But yeah, good question. Should we get to some of these other questions here? Looks like someone asked, what do you hope to see Nintendo doing to keep sales up with the people looking at the other two systems?
Well, I was really kind of hoping that Nintendo would continue with their whole marketing push, because during the holidays they were really, really pushing the Wii U and trying to get it out there and let people know that it exists and what it does and all this. But then as soon as the holidays were over, you haven't even really seen much out of them as far as advertising or, oh, we're going to be doing this, we're going to be doing that. And I was really hoping to continue to see that push, but it just kind of like dropped off after the holidays. So hoping that Nintendo kind of comes around and starts marketing a little more again.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, I mean, you know, most people are like, oh, this is it for the Wii U. They're going to be packing up here at the end of the year or whatever. But yeah, I think Nintendo just needs to keep plugging away, doing marketing. I thought some of their ads over the holiday were probably some of their most effective ads yet for the Wii U.
Yes, definitely.
You know, because I felt really over the last year since the Wii U launched, there really hadn't been much of an effective marketing campaign to tell people why the Wii U is different and why they should upgrade, you know. With the other systems, I think it's a pretty, you know, easy deal to present to people. Oh, it's got way more processing power, and it's got a new number on it. It's a PS4 instead of a PS3, you know. So I think that, you know, made more sense. But I don't know if Nintendo really emphasized the HD aspect of the Wii U enough. You know, because it is a huge upgrade over the Wii.
Definitely.
And so I think, I almost think they need to emphasize the graphics some. You know, hey, play your favorite Nintendo franchises in HD. You know, I think that would be an effective marketing standpoint. But what do you guys think?
I think Nintendo might as well at this point almost give up on the third-party support. I think they're looking at a console which is prominently for their first-party titles and indie games, which I don't think is a bad thing, because if you look at the GameCube and things, it's always their selling point has always really been about their own first-party games. Yeah. I think if they carry on putting out quality software on it that they've developed themselves, I don't think they have too much to worry about. I can see it still shifting quite a lot of units in its lifetime. I think, yeah, they just really need to focus on first party for the time being, I think.
Yeah,
well,
I think so too.
And it also, excuse me, not that people have forgotten, but it seems like people have overlooked the fact that some of their hardest hitting titles like Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers still haven't released yet.
Yep.
I mean, that could be a huge boost for Nintendo.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that you guys remember with the 3DS, you had, what, Super Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart 7 came out in the span of 2 weeks, just before the holidays. I mean, that really spurred the 3DS on, and it, you know, hasn't really stopped. It's been, you know, cruising. But so, yeah, I think Mario Kart is really going to be a big part of the success of the Wii U. And did you guys see that recent Famitsu Most Wanted list?
No.
It was like a list of 20 titles. And I think number 8 was Mario Kart 8. And it was up there. The only other games on the list, there were some PS4 games, I think. There were some other PS3 games. And I think the rest of them were 3DS or Vita games. Because handhelds kind of dominate Japan right now. But I thought that was interesting that, you know, the Wii U title that was up there wasn't Smash Brothers. It was Mario Kart. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I think Mario Kart can really push a lot of systems, not just in Japan, but in all the other regions.
Mario Kart's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, when people look back at the 3DS with Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart coming around the same time, both of those did sell very well, but I think Mario Kart was a big reason why, you know, it sold so well. I mean, that was one of the best online games ever on a handheld, I think. May still be. You know, local multiplayer, online multiplayer. It was just a great, fun game. So Mario Kart 8, I think, will still be a big title for them. Now, what do you guys think Nintendo needs to do? You think they need to do a Nintendo Direct here soon, or?
I would love to see a Nintendo Direct soon. Go ahead, Matt.
what I was thinking is, I kind of disagree with you all about Mario Kart really helping out the Wii U. I mean, I think it's going to help move some units, but I think what Nintendo really needs to do is convince people that the Wii U can keep up with its competition right now. Because, I mean, with this, what we just talked about with the stock or with the sales adjustment, you know, people really just kind of like lost faith with Nintendo being able to, you know, keep up with the console market. I mean, a lot of articles out there are saying, you know, that the Wii U should quit the console business. I mean, not the 3DS business, but, you know, the home console. And then it'll also move units. I don't think that Mario Kart or Smash Brothers will make, you know, much of a difference in that. So I think, you know, third parties are the way to go. I think people really need to see, like, more, like, Assassin's Creed 4 and, you know, Watch Dogs and, you know, saying, hey, you know, the best-selling games on these other systems are also coming out to the Wii U. And we have these first-party games, too. So, you know, I think that's the route they need to go. I think they do need to go emphasize third party.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, go ahead, Thomas.
Sorry, Justin. I think where part of the problem lies is that, certainly for me, and I think for many others, Nintendo has always been a kind of an extra console for them, where they will have a PS3 or an Xbox, and then they'll have Nintendo on the side. I think that's probably the case with the Wii U as well. People are going to be having a PS4 or an Xbox One, and then they'll possibly be looking at having a Wii U on the side of that for a lot of people who aren't hardcore Nintendo fans. So I think Nintendo chasing that market that wants the first-person shooters or the Assassin's Creeds, they're already going to have their PlayStation or their Xbox for it. So Nintendo really need to think, we still need to sell these systems. What can we offer that these don't, that are going to encourage people to pay up money for our system? And I think it's first-party games, really.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you. I would say that, you know, I think third-party support is important, and that Mario Kart 8 or any one game isn't really going to, you know, turn the tide, I think. You know, I think the 3DS success was, you know, partly due, in fact, to the, you know, huge price drop. Do you guys remember that? I mean, the 3DS started at $250, and it went down to $169, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a $80 drop, right? I mean, that's a huge percentage cut. Now, they cut the price of the Wii U, but it wasn't nearly, you know, by that much of a percentage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that combined with those software titles, Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7 helped it. But I almost think you need a combination of both. You need those big heavy hitters, those first-party titles. Those are going to, I don't know if they're going to sell systems, but they're definitely going to have, you know, a high attachment rate to people who already own the Wii U. Going back, if you go back to the GameCube days, do you guys remember the GameCube was pretty much on par, if not a little bit more capable than the other systems? I remember seeing some technical documents that, you know, said the GameCube was definitely more powerful than the PS2. Just as far as, you know, doing higher textures for backgrounds, you know, things like that. It was at least better at doing some things than the PS2 was. Same with the Xbox. But I think the Xbox was better in other ways as well. So that the GameCube was kind of like the last time you saw Nintendo competing for specs. And Nintendo had a lot of third-party support with the GameCube. Like Time Splitters 2 was on every system. You know, GameCube, Xbox, and PS2. Soul Calibur 2 was on every system. You know, so Nintendo really did a good job with third-party support then, but, you know, it missed out on some key titles. The Grand Theft Auto that came out around that time was not on Nintendo systems, and that helped further the gap. But what I'm really drilling down to is, Nintendo was going after that market. They were doing the third-party releases, but they ended up in third place overall worldwide. So I can see Thomas's point where, it, you know, it may not be super important. I think it is important to have those games on there, but like he said, you know, Watch Dogs. People are looking at it on the PS4, and the way Ubisoft is marketing the game, they're like, oh, the definitive edition is the PS4 version or the Xbox One version because, ooh, it's going to have little leaves or trash, you know, flowing around in Chicago. Whereas if you got the Wii U or a current-gen system, you're not going to see all that, those cool particle effects, you know. So I think, you know, people are, like, already deciding, you know, on getting some of those games for the other systems. But anyways, it's a definite battle.
Something I thought of.
Yeah.
I remember reading some headlines for the past couple of weeks about, you know, the size of these games in the PS4 and the Xbox One, and also with downloadable content and patches, and you know, they're obscenely large, even for those who have, you know, access to like high speed cable and stuff like that, high speed internet connections. I can't imagine what it's like out there in the Midwest, and you all do have is like dial up or whatnot. So if anything, Nintendo can kind of take advantage of this and say, hey, you can definitely still download our games pretty quickly because they're not going to be that huge. And if we need to patch things or we need to put in DLC, no worries. It'll only take a few minutes of your time mm-hmm. rather than the entire day and then probably some of the next day.
Well, now a lot of that stuff happens automatically in the background, too, like when the console's in sleep mode or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think Nintendo's actually done a good job with, you know, at least the current version of the Wii U, being able to go out and automatically download updates. Like, you know, occasionally I'll look over, my Wii U has the little amber light on it.
Right.
You know, that lets you know it's downloading something or at least checking for updates. And I don't know how often it does it, but it may do it like every couple hours. And I think that's pretty slick, because next time you open up the system, hey, it's got all that stuff downloaded. I'm not sure how the PS4 or Xbox One operate, but I know with the PS3 and 360 last generation, that was always a bear, you know, trying to update your system. Like, I remember trying to play a game at a friend's house. We had to download, I think, like 4 separate updates. There wasn't like a cumulative update. We had to download 4 separate updates that are, you know, like PS3 system updates. And then after we did that, there was like 2 other updates for the game before we could even play it. We ended up like sitting there like, I don't know, it was like 2 hours, and we're, you know, playing another game on another system. But I was like, this is just ridiculous. but yeah, like you said, I mean, games are increasing in size, and I mean, Nintendo, I think, will be, you know, have the advantage in that regard. So what do you guys think? One of our topics in the KoopaCast was, you know, where do we think Nintendo goes from here? Now, you know, that's kind of an ominous question, but, you know, I don't think the state of Nintendo is quite as dire as people, you know, would have you believe. But, you know, what are some of the things Nintendo needs to do? We talked about some marketing things, but, you know, where do you see Nintendo going in the future with their consoles and handhelds?
Well, I think we're going to see a few more years of the Wii U, definitely. I don't think the Nintendo Fusion is a thing, and I don't think Nintendo has been rushing out to, you know, replace the Wii U because it's bombed so terribly. But at the same time, a part of me is thinking that, you know, there's some Nintendo meetings going on right now or in the near future of, you know, we should start getting the next console set up. And we might start seeing that sooner rather than later, like maybe about 4 or 5 years down the road, we'll see the successor to the Wii U, rather than maybe like the 7 with the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys think there's any credibility? Like, I think the Nintendo Fusion thing's pretty far out there anyways, but do you guys think there's any credibility to Nintendo developing some sort of a hybrid system maybe, or just doing handhelds in the future?
I could totally see Nintendo bringing their handheld and console market closer together. I mean, they've already moved like office locations or something to bring those two sectors closer together so they can interact more. I could totally see them kind of not merging the two, but making the two interact more between the handheld and the console.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo are already planning the next system. I'm sure at least at an early stage with like drafts and ideas floating around, they are already planning well ahead for things like this. I think in the near future their best they're just going to have to see out the Wii U, try and sell it at profit, shift as many as they can. And with the new system, I think they're going to have to kind of look ahead what the next trend is going to be. Because in recent times, Nintendo have always kind of played a catch-up game with the competitors, I feel, either with the specs of the system or the online capabilities. They always seem to be catching up a few years behind Sony and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So for the next successor, I think they've really got to think, what is the next stage going to be? What are Sony and Microsoft are going to be doing with their next system. We need to match that. So, you know, we're not seen as inferior to the other systems in the next release.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to see anything like terribly drastic of, you know, like a 3-year cycle for the Wii U, like, you know, oh, right. Nintendo's announcing new hardware soon. You know, I don't think, you know, they're gonna do what Nintendo does best. They're going to figure out how to, you know, make the system profitable. And, you know, even if it's lower sales, let's say they only sell like, you know, 22 million out of the whole, you know, 4-year, 5-year cycle, whatever it ends up being. You know, I still think they'll probably, even if they're that behind, you know, on sales, I think they'll probably still try and turn a profit and use that for the next system. And that's another thing people don't understand is Nintendo has reserves of cash. I mean, they're like Apple. I mean, if they didn't post profit for the next 20 years, they would have enough to, you know, to go off of. So, you know, I definitely think they're working on their next systems, you know, handheld console. You know, maybe some of these rumors are, you know, just rumors. There's no real substance to them, but you know, I do think Nintendo may be considering things sooner rather than later, especially with the 3DS. I mean, the 3DS is going to be how old in March? Is it 4 years or 3 years?
Three years.
I think it's three.
Yeah. And, you know, it's gone through a couple of revisions. We've got the 2DS now. We have 3DS XL. But I could easily see a new hardware revision this year or maybe even a successor to the 3DS coming out next year, maybe even announced this year. But anyways, it's not too far off. And Nintendo's always working on the next thing. You know, they're always testing out ideas right now. So.
As far as, I guess, the Nintendo Fusion thing, there are a lot of media outlets that, like, kind of refused to report on it just because it was, like, entirely speculation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And honestly, what is a rumor without a little speculation? So
yeah.
I don't know what difference it really made. But I kind of think that it was real early on to really have that much detail on Nintendo's next system or whatever. I posted it on the website, but at the same time really thought there really probably isn't much to any of this, but really posted it to let our readers kind of have that information and voice what they felt about the rumor and kind of form their own opinions about the information that was put out there.
Yeah. And, you know, if nothing else, rumors, you know, get people talking and get discussion going. So I think, you know, I think rumors are, you know, fun to have. I mean, without rumors, it would, you wouldn't have that spice in between actual news, you know. Go ahead, Matt.
I think Nintendo, I mean, I know they're not usually one to come out and speak against these kind of rumors. But I think with this one, with as much, or with how fast it's catching fire between sites, I think Nintendo really needs to come out and kind of quash this one and say that they still have, you know, faith in the Wii U. Because I feel like if they're not commenting on this and we're all speculating, and yeah, it's a fun exercise, but to like anybody who's investing in Nintendo, they might look at that and say, okay, so Nintendo clearly does not have faith in the Wii U. And potential buyers might see that and say, well, okay, so a new system's coming out soon, so why should I buy a Wii U now?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. And yeah, I really think someone actually mentioned this question, so maybe we can go to it here. I thought someone mentioned it, but someone was asking about a Nintendo Direct. And I honestly think there's going to be a Nintendo Direct pretty soon. And I don't necessarily, I don't think Iwata's going to come on there and address these concerns directly, but I think he's going to come on and announce a bunch of games and, you know, business as usual. I think Nintendo needs to, like you said, Matt, get people off of this track of rumors and, you know, all this stuff, speculation. Oh, Nintendo's not talking about anything. They must be closing up shop. They must be, you know, they need to have that appearance of, hey, it's business as usual. We're releasing a new Donkey Kong game next month. Here's some new trailer. Here's some new footage. New footage for X. New footage for games that are coming out later this year. I don't know if you guys remember, but the Nintendo Direct last January was actually a pretty big one.
Yeah, it was.
That's where they showed off more footage for X. I believe that's where they announced that Yarn Yoshi game that's coming to the Wii U. They announced several other games as well.
Wasn't Luigi's Mansion part of that?
I
don't remember.
Well, I mean, Luigi's Mansion had been at the previous E3, I think.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was a fairly large Nintendo Direct because it's kind of kicking off the year. So hopefully, I think Nintendo needs to have some sort of a Direct, whether it's late January. It's already the 22nd, so I guess they could do one like next Wednesday. But even like early February, just have something that gets people excited, amped up about new third-party releases, Watch Dogs, and some of the indie games that are coming out. We just got a release date for Shovel Knight on the Wii U and 3DS. So, yeah, I think they just need to, come out and maybe not even directly address the rumors, but just say, hey, we're trucking forward. Here's all the games we have coming out this year for the Wii U.
Do it in an official press release that they'll send out. I don't think they'll do it in like a Nintendo Direct or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like addressing specifically the rumors and such.
The Nintendo Fusion rumors.
Right.
Or even, something just to quell, investors who are kind of skeptical at this point.
Yeah. And, I could see that, but Nintendo has always... do you guys remember the Nintendo On rumor back when? It was that helmet thing. It was around the time where the Wii was still called the Revolution, and someone was
brain sensor thing.
Yeah, it was literally like this helmet, and someone created this elaborate concept video, and they're like, "It's called Nintendo On," and like all this stuff, and I remember like that saw the rounds around the internet. Like almost every site was talking about it. But Nintendo didn't say a thing about it. They're like, they just kind of let it go by and, did what they did. So, yeah, I could see them maybe mentioning it, but it's definitely not the highest profile rumor that I've seen out there. But who knows? We got some other questions here. Christian Espinosa says, Nintendo Directs are awesome, but do you think the Wii U would do better in Japan if Nintendo had a presence at TGS, or would it make no difference to sales? What do you guys think?
I think Nintendo definitely should have a presence in TGS. I mean, as big as they are, even on their home turf, I don't think they should rest on the laurels that they're a huge company, even that they're bigger than Sony. I think they need to keep some kind of momentum going. And even if that means sending out like a small booth with like six guys in there, that's something, and that's better than nothing at this point.
Yeah.
Is TGS a media event or is that a public?
It's both. They open it up for the public.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the Tokyo Game Show. Do you remember way back when Nintendo had Space World?
Yeah.
Space World was their dedicated show in Japan. It actually happened like a month before TGS. TGS is like late September. Space World was like early August, somewhere around there. But that's where Nintendo announced the GameCube. That's where they showed off the first trailer of the Wind Waker. There was two big years, I think 2000 and 2001, that were pretty big years for Space World, but I think Nintendo definitely needs to have a TGS presence, and especially with the sales in Japan, I think they need to ignite it a little bit more there. I know they do like a Japanese-specific Nintendo Direct sometimes. If it's a big enough Direct, they've got one in every region, Europe, America, and Japan. You've got to get out there and sell it like you are a small company. Act like you're a small company, even if you are a big company. it helps prevent you from getting too cocky or too, you know, inflated. But
I'd agree that I think they need a presence at all of these kind of video game events. I don't think they can rely just solely on having the Nintendo Direct, because mm-hmm. although we might be the sort of people that stay up and watch them live or check out the news the following day, not everyone does, and this news like evades some people. Mm-hmm. Whereas I guess there are portions of people that would go to these events that might not watch Nintendo Direct, so mm-hmm. it's good to, you know, get in as many outlets as you can for news, really.
Yep. And I know that Nintendo, like this year, or that's 2014 now, but in 2013, Nintendo actually did a better job of going to events in North America. Like, they started going to Comic-Cons. They were at the San Diego Comic-Con, which I think they were there the year before as well. But they went to PAX Prime. They had a presence there. Pretty big presence, pretty big booth at PAX Prime in Seattle. I mean, they really need to just get out to these events as much as possible. And do you guys remember the Cube Club back when they were promoting the GameCube in the U.S.? I went to a couple Cube Clubs back in the day. But those were awesome. I remember I got to play the GameCube in 2001, like 3 months before it came out. And I can remember playing it, and I was like, oh, this is just going to be great. Because, you know, the graphics were amazing. It was on par with the other systems that were coming out. PS2 had come out the year before. You know, something like that. Nintendo had, ironically, they had the Nintendo Fusion Tour. So speaking of Nintendo Fusion, but they had the Nintendo Fusion Tour, I think, 03 to 06, somewhere around there. And that was where they had video games and bands. They had like Evanescence and, you know, all these bands that were big at the time, you know. It's kind of funny looking back on it. It's like Nintendo doing a concert series? What in the world? But it seemed like it was successful if they did it for a few years. They did it longer than the Cube Clubs. I don't know, you know, some more tours like that, and definitely in Japan, you know, having more of that stuff, I think, would help sales.
I think what they did with the whole Year of Luigi thing was actually really smart, with the setting up booths at train stations, and like, because there's only so much they can get across through direct. People can't actually get a hands-on preview of a game or think, you know, oh, this is what the Wii U is, we're actually experiencing it for ourselves. So as kind of comical as that Luigi thing was, where he was going around on the trains, if they did more things like that, and more airports and just mass places where there's going to be a lot of people, and had booths to try out, at least people would get a chance to actually experience the Wii U, see that it's different to the Wii. Be wowed by the graphics or whatever, and just get a hands-on preview of what they're missing out on, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be great if they actually would have like some demo stations, maybe even in airports. I mean, you've got a lot of people that live in airports almost, you know, business people, you know, maybe even, you know, dads that are going to be buying, you know, potentially buying systems for their kids. They're spending most of their time on planes and walking through, you know, airport terminals. I actually remember there used to be a lot of Wii demo stations. I know here at the Nashville airport, I think they still had the Wii demo station up even like till middle of last year. I remember seeing it, like people playing like Wii Sports Bowling and all this stuff. And I was like, it's still going strong. But you know, have some more demo stations and, you know, places like that. When Nintendo gave away the Wii U systems on the Southwest flight, you know, I thought that was a good thing. You know, it gets the news out to more general people, you know. You know, because then I think, like, CNN or some of these other news sites are like, oh, Nintendo gives away game systems on flight. You know, even if they get some of the facts wrong about the system, it still gets it in people's faces. Because like you said, Thomas, not everybody is going to see the Nintendo Direct. I think that's, you know, that's just us gamers that are watching that. You're not really getting many casual people that are like, oh, look, I found this Nintendo Direct. I'm going to watch it, you know. And I remember, and this kind of leads into one of the other questions, but someone was asking, what do you think this year's E3 will be like for Nintendo? And I really think they need to go back to a traditional press conference.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
With chairs, please, chairs. We want to sit down.
Yes, chairs, yeah. Yeah, because we, last year, to give you an idea, we huddled around a couple different computers, right? And we were trying to watch the stream of the Nintendo Direct, but our internet was awful in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Los Angeles at the time, you know, getting ready to cover the show. But I mean, if you don't have a, you know, consistent internet connection, you know, you're dropping frames left and right. Like, wasn't there like a whole section of the Smash Brothers trailer we didn't even see, Matt?
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. And so I remember when we actually went into the event, I remember talking to some people, and they had no clue what Nintendo had announced at their Direct. You know, like, you know that little press event that was inside the booth before the show floor opened?
Yeah.
Like, most of the people there, that was the first time they had heard those announcements. Or, you know, they're kind of watching, like, a recap of the Direct. That was, like, the first time people had seen that. And so, you know, if you don't have that press conference, you're missing out on so many people who would otherwise see it.
Well, that was another thing, is that whole, like, press-only presentation they had should have been broadcast online. It was all stuff that really could have helped kind of boost their presence at E3, but it was just a bunch of us press people standing around, either reporting live about it while standing around listening to them, or after the fact. I mean, it could have all been broadcast live online at the time.
Yeah.
Kind of, it puzzled me why they were having the press-only event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like at press conferences in the past, it's not just, you know, Nintendo-related media. You know, obviously you have all the other media outlets there, you know, covering other systems. But you even have, like, you know, we usually hang out with this one guy who works on an Apple blog. So he's covering something completely different, but he's a Nintendo fan. And he always gets the invites to go to the press conferences at E3. So we always see him there, and he always loves, you know, watching the show. So yeah, you miss out on all those other people that are just at E3 for business that, you know, might want to check out what the press conference has in store. You know, whereas the Nintendo Direct, they're not going to, you know, sit down on their computer and watch that. So anyways, just trying to get out there to more audiences.
Yeah, I think either for good or bad as well, the idea of a press conference is more, it sticks in the brain more. Like, if you think back to some of the more classic moments of E3, you always seem to remember, oh, when such and such did the press conference, like a funny thing about it, or like, I think the audience interaction and stuff, it makes it more of a memorable experience. Like the whole Mr. Caffeine thing for Ubisoft, and I just think Nintendo would be better doing that more interactive. Like when Reggie first did his big trademark catchphrase, and I think it's just as somebody who would attend the event, they would remember things more from that kind of a situation than, oh, we logged onto the internet and we watched this stream. It's just less memorable, I think, and I think they need to go back to a more traditional conference.
Yeah, and like you said, you miss that interaction, because, like, you know, when you're watching on the computer, you can say, yeah, oh, that's awesome, but nothing's really affected. Like, you know, if you're at the press conference and you're screaming out because they announced a new Metroid game, the presenter, you know, Reggie, whoever's on the stage, has to like pause and smile, yeah. You know, like, oh yeah, yeah, very exciting. You know, pause, wait for the applause to stop. Like, yep, and that's not all, you know, and announce more stuff about the game. You know, it's the pacing of the whole thing. And I don't know, it just seems so scripted with the Direct. And sure, it gets rid of errors and stuff like that and internet memes with, you know, what was that guy playing the Wii Music drums that one year? Ravi or something like that. Or and what's her name that didn't – she looked like she was more a marketing person when she was there with Shaun White. And she's, like, trying to snowboard or – You miss out on those classic moments like my body is ready, you know, like I don't know. It just gets people talking more than the Direct itself. So Nintendo, if you're watching, let's do the press conference this year. We'll help you out with it if you need some help, you know. I do think Nintendo could use some help every now and then, but
yeah, we'd be more than happy to be there to.
Helpful. Yeah. What one thing, if they do go back to a traditional press conference, it's all about pacing. All about pacing. Do you guys remember their last press conference where the last 17 minutes was showing off Nintendo Land?
Yeah.
And like they spent like 30 seconds on like everything else, and then the last 17 minutes were just Nintendo Land, and you're like, oh, okay, this is building up to something. They're gonna have something good at the end, you know? Nope, nothing.
Fireworks.
You know, you gotta keep people engaged with it, because honestly, when you come out of a press conference, I can't remember what happened at the first 5 minutes of the show, you know. So if my impression of the press conference is in the last 2 minutes of the show, if I'm not impressed in the last 2 minutes, I think the whole thing was a bust, you know.
Was that the year they had the Zelda Symphonic Orchestra play the intro? Or was that?
I think that may have been the year before with the Zelda intro there.
Yeah. Skyward Sword, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one with Nintendo Land. That was one where they showed off more Pikmin 3.
Yeah.
Was that when they, like, talked about Nintendo TV and stuff?
No, Nintendo TV, they announced after E3. They announced it, like, when they announced the price for the Wii U.
Oh, okay.
It was, like, in September. It was, like, a separate media event in New York. But it was the one... You've seen that internet thing where Miyamoto's holding a little Pikmin, and he goes like that? That's the one. I can remember bits and pieces of it. So, I've been to the press conferences since the 2008 one, which was that one with the Wii Music. So, I was there. It was interesting.
For all those wondering, I think it was DJ Ravi Drums was his name.
Yeah. Yeah, DJ Ravi Jones. Nice. Well, I guess, yeah, going back to the question, what do you think this year's E3 will be like? I think it'll be pretty big because I think, you know, the Wii U's getting into its, you know, second full year. So they've got to be announcing games that are, you know, some pretty big games coming out at the end of the year. And then, you know, potentially some big games coming out in 2015.
We're sure to hear more about Smash Brothers, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. And it'll probably almost definitely be playable at this year's E3.
Yep. Mario Kart, if it stays true to the spring release, shouldn't be at E3, but you know, it's possible that'll get delayed. But I don't want to say it'll get delayed. But.
I'd hate for it to be delayed, but if they had delay it and have it again at E3, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, yeah. Because really, like, do you guys remember the demo at E3 last year was pretty rudimentary. You know, there was a basic character selection screen, one level to play. You know, actually, they had more levels than that.
Yeah, they had a few levels, but they had
four levels.
They weren't many.
Yeah, and judging by that last trailer was pretty awesome. You know, with like the airport level and some of that. So having it at another E3 wouldn't be bad. You know, it definitely draws people to the booth if nothing else. Like, hey, let's go over and play some Mario Kart at the Nintendo booth.
So. It'd be cool if they maybe, because I think they let you play like two player multiplayer or something like that at the last E3.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if they maybe let more people get in on a demo at E3 so you'd have more interaction and stuff.
Yeah. Have some four player. I mean, because like playing Nintendo Land or Mario 3D World four player at the show, that was just awesome. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, you know, the banter back and forth as you're playing.
I think going back to the E3 question again, I think it will be a strong one from Nintendo. I think it has to be, really, with everything that's been going on surrounding them, the speculation. And personally, going back to my predictions for this year, I'd be hugely disappointed if they didn't announce the title of the next Zelda for Wii U. And at least give us like a, even if it's just a 10-second teaser trailer, a little bit of footage, something like that. I think I'm really hoping for something like that.
Yeah. And as misplaced as, you know, some people's thoughts about, oh, Nintendo, they're gonna quit the Wii U. There's no point in buying one. They're not even gonna release the new Smash Brothers because it's gonna be out of business. Blah blah blah. Even as misplaced as that thought is, it's still a thought in people's minds. You know, it's still hindering a lot of people from buying the system, you know, because when they see this news, they're like, oh, it doesn't look good. I guess maybe I'll wait and see, you know. I mean, people did that with the 3DS. They did the wait and see approach. Now a ton of people are coming around like, oh, I just got a 3DS. What game should I get? You know, so I think Nintendo has to show more games in the future that really tell people, hey, we are committed to the Wii U, despite what people think, you know. Zelda's coming out in 2015. We've got a new Star Fox or Metroid or whatever. here's our lineup. Buy a system. You know, it's going to be around for a while. So they need to give every reason for people not to think that. Big showing, lots of new games. You know, because that's really what you want. When you get into like the second and third years of a system, you want them to really be churning out the software. You know, getting into games that have a little more graphical fidelity, you know, more features, online play, stuff like that.
And even with all the stuff we know that is coming to the Wii U soon, it would be really awesome for Nintendo just to like come out of left field with something. Yeah. Even something outside of a Metroid or a Star Fox, just something completely off the wall.
Yep. They always do. They always have some surprise like that. So I think it'll be fun. Hopefully they'll give a preview of the games we'll see at E3 in the next Direct. Should be sweet. All right, let's answer a couple more questions and talk about some of the games we've been playing. This one user, Always Nintendo, what do you guys think about the Palutena leak for the 3DS Smash Brothers?
Oh.
Do you guys think that's legit? You know, Palutena from Kid Icarus?
If it is, it's just an assist trophy. So I didn't really make too much of that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too real simply because it's not a screen. It's not like a screen grab like what we have been seeing. It's just like somebody took a picture of a 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean.
It didn't look that credible, especially for a playable character.
Yeah. I don't really see any reason that it shouldn't necessarily be fake, but at the same time I kind of agree that if it is genuine, it mm-hmm. seems like it is an assist trophy. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's a playable character, no.
Yeah, she would be an odd inclusion. Like, I know Rosalina's being included, but Rosalina was playable in Mario 3D World. You know, Palutena is like, a co-star in the last Kid Icarus game, and I don't know. It doesn't seem like having her playable. I don't know. But yeah, so that's what we think about that leak. And then one more question. Why do you think Super Mario 3D World lacked online multiplayer?
I don't honestly see a reason why it should have online multiplayer.
And I kind of agree with you, Matt. A lot of people keep pressing for online multiplayer in Mario games, and I keep thinking, do you really need online multiplayer in a Mario game?
Yeah.
And I think even Nintendo has come out said that they haven't found any reason why to include online multiplayer in any other Mario games, and that it wouldn't really work the same way as being in the same room with the people you're playing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would lose some of that fun, you know, because it would be like playing the game single player just with a bunch of non-playable characters running around you, you know. Because honestly, think about it. If you're playing with four separate people online in Mario 3D World, and let's say it doesn't even have voice chat, you're not even able to communicate with him, you've got one guy that's running ahead, and he beats the level, you know. And then you're just cruising back there. You don't have that cooperative sense that you do have in, you know, the current local multiplayer, where it's like, oh, hey, here, come over here, jump on my head, and I can bounce higher, you know. It's like that sort of stuff is really fun to figure out and, you know, get to higher places and, you know, like, oh, we got to that super high up place without using the cat suit, you know. So I think that there's more fulfillment in figuring out some of those little challenges when you have three or four people. Like, there was actually one time we got three of us on top of each other, and we were able to bounce, like, super high and get up to this place that would normally only be a place you could get to with a cat suit. And I was like, that was pretty cool. So, you know, could you do it? Yeah, but I really don't think it would be quite as fun. Go ahead.
Sorry, Jeremy.
And sometimes with the four-player local play, it's hard enough to play with four people running around, going this way and that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, if you had four people from wherever, and then you didn't have voice chat or whatever, it just make it that much more difficult.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, just think about it, like, you guys played with the ghosts enabled on Mario 3D World. Have you done that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where they pop up and they just start running. You know, that's what it would be like if you're playing online multiplayer. You're just going to have these voiceless, lifeless characters running around and then, you know, trying to speed run the level, you know.
I had to turn that off when I was looking for stars, because I mean, I'm not as young as I used to be. I can't keep track of everything that's going on at once when there's just a bunch of like other characters running around.
I know.
Like, I've gone off the edge so many times because the player I thought was I'm under like a thwomp now.
Right. Yeah. So
I think Nintendo have always kind of been a company that have valued interaction with people around you more than what you get over the net. Admittedly, they have kind of made concessions in recent years. They've said, you know, the competition has got these online features. We're going to have to catch up a bit, which admittedly they have. But like you're saying, I don't think Mario 3D World is the sort of title that would need an online multiplayer, so I think it's probably a wise choice from them, really, to just leave it out, especially if it would have taken them longer and it would have delayed the release of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you know, when they get to the point where they can do full voice chat, full four-player online cooperative play without losing frames and, you know, at a good speed, I think that would be awesome. You know, you could still talk to the same people online, but I'm sure they probably couldn't get the quality that they wanted with voice chat enabled, with, you know, four people in different locations. You know, and Nintendo, they're very quality driven. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that are like, oh, I'm going to mention a hot topic here, but Battlefield 4, they're like, oh, just release the game. We'll just patch it after the release. People are going to buy it. Mm-hmm. Nintendo isn't like that. You know, Nintendo doesn't release a game and then patch in functionality that should have been there, you know, later on. Nintendo is going to cover 90% of their bases, make sure the quality is, you know, at the utmost importance, but when they release that version 1.0 of a game. And sure, in recent years, they've been able to patch updates and, or, you know, patch glitches and Pokemon and games like that. But, you know, from the get-go, they're worried about that quality. So if it's not, you know, if the lag is happening on more than 10% of the users, you know, they would definitely cut it from a game for sure. I don't know.
And really, if you look at Nintendo's past, how many games have they released where they've had to release a patch because something broke the game because of a glitch or whatever? I mean, it's a very, very rare occurrence.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there are very few game-breaking glitches in Nintendo games, really. Whereas, you know, it seems to happen a lot in other games. Not that other games are less quality, but just...
They just seem to rush it, though, like you were saying. Yeah. They just say, we'll push it out, we'll take care of it later.
Yeah, and I think that's partly due to the publisher-developer relationship. Nintendo is the publisher, and they're the developer. So they, you know, they're determining some of that release schedule, where I'm sure in the case of Battlefield 4, DICE was saying, hey, guys, this is not ready for prime time, and EA's like, sure it is. We've got billions invested in this. It's ready, you know. So, you know, I guess they can only do so much. But, anyways, sorry, we went off topic on that one a little bit. And then the last question was, do you play Roblox? I
don't think I've ever played it before.
Yeah.
Why is it a game?
I guess. Yeah. It's not a game on any Nintendo system, I know. But.
All right.
Yeah, that's
just
like
Googling it.
Yeah.
It's some online MMO or something.
Okay.
So no, that's a resounding no.
Yeah. We barely have time to play Nintendo games. Oh boy. To close, guys, what games have you guys been playing? We'll start with J-Money.
All right, woo! I have been playing the heck out of Pokemon.
Ooh, nice.
And I've also been playing Unepic, which is an indie game that just released, and I'm trying to get a review together for and haven't had much time to play it, so I've been trying to get some of that done. Nice. Excuse me for a second.
Hey, I think it's J-Money. Matt, what about you? Oh,
he's gone.
Thomas, what about you?
I've got back into Pokemon, shockingly.
Nice.
A lot earlier than I thought I would. Uh-huh. Last week I couldn't put down Bravely Default. Because it's brilliant. I love it. It's a great game, but yeah, I picked up Pokemon one day, just needing something else to do, and I haven't been able to put it down since. I've already finished it or completed it, but I'm trying to collect all of my Kanto Pokemon at the moment.
Ooh.
It was never anything I did as a kid, despite the gotta catch 'em all. I never did get all 151. And now I think, now there's 600 odd, now's my, I don't have an excuse not to get all 151, so
yeah.
I'm probably about 130 down now, so
nice,
almost there, but yeah, I've been playing Pokemon pretty much non-stop for the past few days.
Nice. Matt, what about you?
I am playing the game Final Cut Pro 10, and the goal is to create videos for Pure Nintendo that seem coherent.
Nice. I like it. That's a good game. Well, I've been playing some Pokemon actually recently. So it's strange. We've all been getting the Pokemon itch again. Yeah, I'm just cruising through, trying to catch some more. And I'm with you, Thomas. I never really tried to catch them all since the original one. So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like there's more incentive for me now to catch them all.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like seeing all the Pokemon models in 3D, and it's like it's a whole new experience. I don't know.
I think it's obviously it's easier now as well with the GTS.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was like you had to find a friend who had such and such Pokemon. If they didn't, you kind of screwed. But
Yeah,
now we've got the GTS. If you need a Pokemon, you don't even have to have encountered it. Just search it.
Yeah.
Admittedly, the GTS is a bit of a joke with what people ask for certain things.
I know, like
Darkrai for Poliwag, but
yeah, it's like come on.
But yeah, you do get a few results from it. So
yeah, I know. Like I'll look for some Pokemon. And I'm like, oh, I need this one, and they're like, I'll give it to you for a Mewtwo, or you know, it's like Mewtwo level 70 or up. It's pretty ridiculous.
Or they'll ask for like, I don't know, like a level 70 Weedle, and I'm like, what are you talking about? That evolves after like level 10 or something.
They want someone who's been training it to level 70, and aborting the evolution every single time at level set. I love it.
I'm hoping for Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transport, and now that they've been released in Japan, I'm hoping we might finally get to see them.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Still no word on it, but
yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully it'll be soon. But yeah, I've been playing Pokemon and some Arkham Origins on the Wii U. Good stuff. All right, guys. Well, we've gone about a little over an hour now. So.
And one more game that I've been playing, Fit You, and don't forget about our contest.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yes, Matt, do the plug.
Okay. So... Right, got my head back together. Okay. Sorry, I was so busy exercising while I was competing for the Pure Nintendo contest. If you guys don't know what it is, you can go to our website at purenintendo.com and look up around the world of We Fit You in 88 days. There's a nice little video there that I worked so very hard for you. It also has contest rules of awesome prizes you can win, such as this Pure Nintendo pin that I happen to be wearing right now. You can also win a physical subscription to Pure Nintendo magazine, as well as a digital one. You can also win shirts, you know, all sorts of good stuff. And it's a really easy contest. Anybody who's picked up We Fit You along with a We Fit meter, like I'm wearing right now, and what J Money is also wearing.
Justin Sharp
is also wearing, but Thomas Jones is not wearing.
I've got my Poker Walker. It's the same thing.
The contest is already underway, but you can begin anytime. You just take your Wii Fit meter, you walk, run, hop, skip, jump, and dance your way across the world of Wii Fit U. You measure your steps, you put them in, you send them right to me. Every 22 days, I come out with a little video saying our staff's progress and as well as our contestants' progress, all the way up to the 88th day, which will be on April 7th, 2014. If you have any other questions or where you need to know how to where to send me the picture, or contest@purenintendo.com.
Now, when's your next video update?
My next video update is actually coming up next week. January 29th, I believe, is the day. So if you're a contestant and you want to get in on that, please send me a picture by midnight of the previous Sunday. So that'll be January 26th. So I must have it by January 26th of midnight Eastern Standard Time.
All right. I'll send you my steps. Yeah, I got a Wii Fit meter just a week and a half ago, so I've been wearing it and counting up some steps. So. Well, thanks for joining us, guys, on the KoopaCast, and we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.